Good afternoon. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Wednesday, April 6, 2016. It is 1:06 p.m. I'm Senator Anna McKinnon, co-chair of Finance. With me at the table this afternoon, Senator Bishop.
Morning. Afternoon, ma'am.
Senator Olson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Dunleavy.
Good afternoon.
Senator Hoffman.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
We should be joined shortly by Co-Chairman Kelly and Vice Chairman Michicki, who are on other state business. Is there anything else to come before the committee before we open the public testimony on SB 138, Alaska's capital budget? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 138-29-GS-274-A. First, in the Anchorage LIO, Lois Epstein. Lois, are you there?
She just did. Hello? Can you hear me?
Good afternoon. Is this Ms. Epstein?
Yes, this is. Thank you to the committee and thank you to the chair. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today. My name is Lois Epstein, and I am an Alaska licensed engineer and Arctic Program Director for the Wilderness Society. Since our organization's inception in the 1930s, the Wilderness Society has had scientists engaged in Alaska conservation issues, so we've been working in the state for a large number of decades. I have worked on Alaska transportation and energy issues for nearly 15 years. Notably, I am the author of a series of reports over the past 6 years detailing spending on many of the state's transportation and energy megaprojects. Each easy-to-start, impossible-to-finish edition, those are the reports that I have developed, is different and, in my view, better as later editions incorporate feedback and comments from knowledgeable project development professionals who have sought me out to help me in these analyses. The latest edition, the fourth, which was distributed to all legislators by email in March, focuses on four projects that Governor Walker stopped discretionary spending on in 2014 and then restarted spending on these projects in 2015. These four problematic projects, capital projects, are the Ambler Road, Juneau Access, Kinnickarn Bridge, and Susitna-Watana Dam. As documented in the March 2016 report, the state has spent more than $324 million just on studies for these four projects. Data on the Kinnickarn Bridge made available this past week shows that figure may be even higher. Since there have been roughly $263 million in state and federal money that has not been expended to date on these four mega projects but has been appropriated, there is substantial money in the capital budget that could be moved away from these projects and moved to be spent on needed infrastructure improvements, especially fixing and upgrading existing infrastructure such as a bypass of Wasilla on the Parks Highway or also the adding to the Eagle River Bridge work by extending it in the other direction. This money would be, quote-unquote, new revenue, and, as I'm sure you recognize, $250 million or more exceeds the amount of 1 year of the proposed income tax. By moving part or all of this money, Alaskans can be put to work immediately rather than waiting for extended permit processes for these megaprojects with uncertain outcomes to be completed. Conservative minimum capital costs for these projects are $430 million for the Ambler Road, $574 million for Juneau Access, which is likely low given the many uncertainties of construction in this highly challenging terrain, $1.17 billion for the Kinnickarn Bridge.
Ms. Epstein?
Which is, hello?
Ms. Epstein, your time was up a bit ago.
Could I just have one more paragraph.
If you could give us a closing sentence.
Sure. It's even more important to make some hard choices and cancel one or more of these projects to free up state money as match for federal transportation dollars that are coming to the state. I'm happy to provide the full testimony because I think it's relevant to your work and would be pleased to answer any questions you may have. Sorry, I was cut off.
Ms. Epstein, we'd be happy to take your full remarks via email. Are there questions from committee members? Thank you for testifying, Ms. Epstein. Next, at the Kenai LIO, I would like to recognize Senate Vice Chairman Michiki has arrived. Next on the Kenai LIO, Rick Koch.
Madam Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak, and thank you to members of the Senate Finance Committee. In the opening, I would express the City of Kenai support for SB 138. I'm sorry. My name is Rick Cook. I'm the City Manager of the City of Kenai, and I'd like to express our support for SB 138. In the last 10 years, I've been the city manager here. Prior to that, my career has been an engineer and have been based in large-scale construction projects throughout Alaska. So I want to speak a little bit to sort of what's forward for capital budgets. While this capital budget is much remarkable in its brevity, only 20 pages, and it does have a significant impact on the construction industry in the state, and absolutely an appropriate reaction to the difficult prospects that you have before you in making decisions on budgets. However, this level of capital budget certainly will not support a sustainable and vibrant industry. For example, the city recently bid a project, and it was estimated about $125,000, not a large project, it was a dirt job. We had 13 bidders where in normal times you expect to see 3 to 6, and we had contractors bid the job that could easily bond $100 million project. So it was very remarkable in the level of competition, and doesn't speak well about the attitude of the industry. So I would, in moving forward, I'd suggest that a part of the longer range budget plan include a healthy capital budget, at least in the discussion. With that, I'll close, and I just wanted to pass on my sincere appreciation from the city for the very difficult work that you are in the process of accomplishing this legislative session. Thank you.
Mr. Cook, thank you for testifying before Senate Finance. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, moving over to the Wrangell LIO, Greg Missener. Greg, are you there?
I am. Thank you for giving me the moment here to testify. My name is Greg Meisner. I'm the Harbor Master here in Wrangell. And I'd like to first thank all of you for your hard work with a very difficult budget problem here and a real fiscal issue to take care of. And I know you're doing the best you can with very limited funds. And with that, it's my belief that with limited funds, I hope you guys pay some favor, I guess, to programs that have matches from local communities to help fund those issues and take another piece of the pie as large or larger than the state and some of these matching grant harbor programs. And that's what I'd like to discuss is your matching grant harbor program. And in October, we had Michael Barnhill with the Alaska Department of Administration here in Wrangell. He gave a presentation on the state's budget issues, and the title of his presentation was Building a Sustainable Future of Alaska. And I had a chance to talk to him and explain how the marine infrastructure played a very integral role in the success of Alaska, and the municipal harbors were a huge part of that infrastructure. And I think you probably all understand and have heard, and if you're not in the marine part of the state, how much the ports and harbors, the marine end of things, bring to the communities as far as jobs and taxes and how important they are. And with that, Wrangell did apply for the state matching grant program, and the way that program is funded, obviously we're ranked based on safety and security and a bunch of these things, and the way it's funded and as little bit of money that there is, we're going to get possibly skipped by and move on down the list to some projects that maybe aren't as important or aren't as safety sensitive. And so I support and you know, hope you guys could possibly fund some additional funds to that State Harbor Matching Grant Program so some of these very important projects can be completed. I guess that's, you know, the city took these on with the assumption there'd be some funds to do these projects. So I hope there's more funds thrown that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Messiner. Is there questions from committee members? Seeing, hearing none, I'll come to Juneau. The first person on our list is Dave Donnelly from Hope Community Resources. Mr. Donnelly.
Madam Chair, may Mr. Gurley join me? He's also from Hope.
Mr. Donnelly, if you could identify yourself for the record, and please proceed with 2 minutes of testimony.
I'm Dave Donnelly, representing Hope Community Resources. For 45 years, HOPE has been providing services and housing for Alaskans with disabilities and saving the state money while doing so. Thank you for the funding you included in last year's capital budget. And this year, HOPE has reduced its request to $115,000, and that's down from $1.5 million just 3 years ago. This funding will pay for essential projects the state has advised HOPE to do to maintain state licensing at 4 homes for Alaskans with disabilities. According to OMB, keeping these 4 homes open saves the state over $1 million a year. It's actually $1.3 million a year in the operating budget. And that is why Governor Walker included this funding as a request, as an amendment request to his capital budget in February of this year. And the Division of Senior and Disability Services reports an average operating budget savings of about $80,000 per Alaskan housed at these homes, and there's 17 in these 4 homes. The state, the Alaskans living in HOPE's licensed homes are entitled to Medicaid services by law, and if HOPE doesn't house them or we find somebody else, saving the state millions of dollars, the state will have to find another way to house these Alaskans because they're entitled to these services by law. And that is why, in addition to the operating budget savings, a 2009 legislative research report stated that the state is saving billions, and that's with a B, in capital costs, because without these homes, the state would need to build new institutional facilities to house these disabled Alaskans. So Alaskans statewide have shown their support for HOPE for 45 years, and this last year HOPE raised over $500,000 in charitable donations to help pay for the cost, and we're asking the state for just a fraction of that to help us meet the immediate needs to maintain licensing. So we're asking that you please support the governor's request to include HOPE's funding in the capital budget. And for $115,000, and Mr. Hurley is a statewide program manager for HOPE, and he's worked for HOPE for the last 22 years. He just happened to be in Juneau today on his duties, and I asked him to come in case he wanted to hear a perspective from somebody who's been in the trenches for 22 years.
Mr. Gurley, if you'd identify yourself for the record, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Eric Gurley. I'm currently the senior manager of our program services and supports across the state. Mr. Donnelly just said, I happened to be here in Juneau covering one of our managers who's on an extended leave, and the timing was just appropriate. My role in HOPE, I am the program administrator for residential licensing, and that's the component Mr. Donnelly was just speaking to. For us to maintain appropriate dwellings and structures, we are requesting for these particular environments this additional funding of $115,000 to help us support the request and requirements by the regulation. But it is important, and I wanted to make sure we can't thank you enough at HOPE for the support we received last year and prior years. That ongoing support has been critical to us maintaining this licensure, even with our best efforts with fundraising and even trying to find ways to enhance our ability to self-manage some of these requirements. The last thing I wanted to leave you with is, you know, thanks for all of your support, and with emphasis, I just want to ask your support in just going with us and meeting the governor's request to include HOPE's funding request in this capital budget.
Are there questions from committee members? Thank you for testifying today on behalf of HOPE Community Resources. Senator Donnelly, thank you for joining us today. The next person here in Juneau, Kaylee Cornerton. Kaylee, are you here? And that will be followed by Paul Foos, Marine Exchange.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Callie Connerton. I am a UAS student, and I was born and raised here in Juneau. I am student body president here at the UAS Juneau campus, and I am the vice chair for the Coalition of Student Leaders. I want to thank the Senate Finance as well as the whole entire legislature for being so great, you know, so supportive of the University of Alaska. It really is great to see that you care about educating Alaskans. Alaska is at a crossroads, and we are in the midst of a financial crisis. While the economic blood of our state, the oil, is declining, at this time, it's especially important that Alaska provides funding for a strong university system, because we need knowledgeable people, an educated workforce, researchers and innovators who have the ability to develop and diversify our economy in the immediate years ahead. The governor appropriated $10 million in the capital budget for the UA deferred maintenance, but he did not include any money for the UAF engineering, learning, and innovative facility. We need to complete the classroom or some laboratory spaces in the building, allowing us to put the building to use. Every year the project is delayed, it increases the overall cost to the state of Alaska, and I know that you are trying to watch costs right now. It is costing annually approximately $500,000 each year to maintain minimal heat, insurance, protective systems, and more. The state already invested over $70 million in a building that can currently not be used, and the project increases by $3 million every year we delay. It is important to be able to actually start using this building. Supporting the University of Alaska means supporting over 25,000 Alaskans who want to continue their education while staying in Alaska. I urge you to support the University of Alaska in all of its efforts, including research, as we cannot create an economically stable and strong Alaska without a durable and robust base of educated Alaskans. It's very important that we, as Alaskans, support the University of Alaska and the continuing of higher education to all the students in our state. Thank you so much for all the support that you've given the university, and thank you so much for allowing me to testify today.
Kaylee, I have a question. Thank you for coming out and testifying on behalf of all the students and education at the university. You did a great job. Do you know if the university has bonding authority to go out and finish the engineering building on their own?
I don't have that knowledge, but I will ask and so for the bonding.
And I'll ask too. I know that it's important to the University of Fairbanks. I just don't have at my fingertips right now whether they have bonding capacity.
I will figure that out and get back to you.
Thank you
so much.
Mr. Paul Foos, followed by Ed Page.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Paul Foos, and I'm the founding chairman of the board of the Marine Exchange of Alaska. Captain Page is retired from the Coast Guard, and he's our executive director. And we're here today to speak about the appropriation in the governor's bill of $600,000 to maintain our antenna sites using cruise ship head tax funds. So Ed's going to cover some of the technical aspects, and I'm going to speak briefly on the strategic way that our system is being used to promote resource development in Alaska. Ed?
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. We provided some graphics so we could expedite this
Mr.
real
Page,
quickly.
You'll need to identify yourself for the record.
Ed Page, Executive Director for the Marine Exchange of Alaska.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. We just hand out some graphics that can tell the picture even better with less words, if you will. The Marine Exchange operates the most extensive vessel tracking system in the world right now. With the 24-hour watch center, it's the only non-governmental system that works to this extent over 1 million square miles of Alaska maritime waters. We built over 120 vessel tracking receiving stations using the state of Alaska cruise ship head tax funds. We continue to build new stations and upgrade our existing systems and introduce some new technologies. This maritime safety net is tracking cruise ships, ferries, tankers, cargo ships, fishing vessels, tugs, and oil exploration vessels that are applying Alaska waters. You see one of our slides here on the funding. State capital funding is critical to our operations, and the state has been contributing in the past $600,000 a year, which matches state and Coast Guard and private funds, except for last year when no funding was provided because of overspending of the funds that were allocated by the cruise ship head tax, which triggered an audit of the head tax fund. We were visited by the auditors, and we have spoken with them since. They've released a report, and they told us that they found no issues with the Marine Exchange appropriations.
Brief at ease. record.
We also were visited by the cruise ship industry representatives. They had no objections to our appropriations in the past, or in the future for that matter. In addition to providing services to the cruise industry, we've also provided direct services to six state agencies, which also shown in the graphic, along with the allocation over the years where the state funding has been less and less, and the funding's predominantly of this vessel tracking system in Alaska is predominantly by the Maritime Ministry, the Coast Guard, and then the state of Alaska. We find it critical that we received state funding this year. Slide 3 has showed, again, the matching funds of other agencies. Alaska Mariners benefit greatly from the system, and many marine casualties have been averted and lives saved by the system that has been funded by the state of Alaska in the past. Paul?
So if you could please turn to the slide that said monitoring shelf lead in the Arctic.
Mr. Foos,
yes, ma'am.
Public testimony isn't typically a presentation back and forth, so okay. I'll allow it, but you need to identify yourself for the record so those following at home.
Paul Foos, again, chairman of the board of the Marine Exchange. So how this system is used, what this is a conflict avoidance agreement that Shell negotiated with the local people for whaling areas and that they put in to allow Shell to go forward with its project. On the next page, you'll see the entrance to Glacier Bay. And there's a speed zone that the Park Service wants. We verify compliance with that so the cruise ships can continue to go into Glacier Bay. So we've heard a lot of word about marine wilderness in the Arctic, and that's a very big concern to the people of the Arctic and to you all. So what we've proposed is that we can put these temporary measures in place if there's a walrus haul out or something like that to avoid permanent wilderness designations. The other thing with Ed mentioned the Marine Prevention and Response Network, this is in response to the Coast Guard put in new regulations for response in the 200-mile zone. Without this in place, the vessels would not be able to come to Alaskan ports. And finally, I just say for those of you that have worked in the Arctic, our vessel tracking system is the only way that we know what's going on up there. So we'd ask your consideration as you develop your CS that you maintain this funding. It is cruise ship head tax funds that are restricted in other uses, and we would appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Foos. Thank you, Mr. Page. Are there questions from committee members? Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else off-net or online wishing to testify on SB 138? Is there anyone else here in Juneau wishing to testify on Alaska's capital budget, SB 138? Seeing and hearing none, we're going to take a brief at ease. We're back on the record. Welcome, Senator Kelly. We have concluded the folks who have signed up at 1 o'clock. Because we've noticed the meeting until 2:45 as far as the sign up goes and 3 o'clock for testimony, I'm going to leave the public hearing open and I'll let committee members go until 1:45, at which time we'll send an email out. If we don't have anyone online waiting, and then we'll move to the next 15-minute increment at 2 o'clock. If I have folks online in any of those times, then the committee will reconvene, and we'll do that as we move forward. So then the next one would be 2:15 and so forth. So we'll be at ease until at least 1:45, and then staff will send out a message if we have any anyone waiting online to testify. With that, we're at ease.
support the balance of funding for the UAF engineering facility. I've been over there. Right now, this building is a nice dry shell with all the systems installed. It's ready to use, of course, except for one thing. The interior hasn't been finished, so it's standing empty and unused. Maybe in a year of budgetary shortfall, that wouldn't be the worst thing, except that it's wasting $500,000 a year to maintain, and it gets more expensive to finish with each year that passes. Also, we really need the engineers we could be training there. The Department of Labor estimates Alaska will need 137 engineers and another 62 engineering technicians annually between now and 2022. That's every single year, 127 new engineers. Completion of the engineering building at UAF will allow the university to meet that need. We're looking at implementing an income tax. In fact, we need to implement an income tax. Consider that the average engineer makes about $100,000 a year, then compound that over the ensuing years. We started this project because we needed its product, and our need for these professionals in the state are no less today than when we began. In addition to offering master's and doctoral engineering degrees, UAF has 7 undergraduate engineering degree options, including mining, geological, and petroleum engineering, which are not available elsewhere in Alaska. UAF really needs to work with UAA on this. I don't work for the university. I am not personally in any business that would be affected by this. I simply see this as an enormous waste while it is left unfinished, and we cannot afford to waste money at this time. Meanwhile, the state needs new engineers, and the completion of this facility will allow for this to happen. It would be a positive move towards new revenues in the future. So, in brief, completion of UAF's engineering building is the university's number one capital priority. Alaska business and industry needs the engineers. This building will allow the university to meet that need. UAF engineering graduates successfully find high-paying jobs in Alaska, contributing to the state's economy. The state has already invested more than $70 million in a building that can't be used without additional investment, and waiting costs the state real dollars. Each year, the project cost increases by $3 million, and we waste $50 million just keeping it on hold. I hope you will fund the completion of UAF engineering facility. It's an investment in our future. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Bibberman. Are there questions from committee members? Thank you for joining Senate Finance today. Is there anyone else off-net or online wishing to testify on SB 138? Anyone here in Juneau? With that, we'll be in recess or at ease until 2:30. If someone signs up in between there, we'll be back at the table at 2:30 to take additional public testimony. With that, we're at ease. Good afternoon. It's still April 6th, 2016. This is the Senate Finance Committee. We're taking public testimony on SB 138, Alaska's capital budget. Going first to Kodiak LIO, Katie Baxter, welcome to Senate Finance.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. May I proceed?
Please, if you'd say your name on the record and any affiliation, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Yes. My name is Katie Baxter. I represent the Alaska Library Association as chair of its Library Advocacy Committee. With deep budget cuts being made and the need for practical solutions, I come before you with the request that you provide, if possible, full funding from the capital budget in the amount of $761,800 for the Online with Libraries, or OWL, dependable broadband program. Thanks to its cost-effective design, OWL is a shovel-ready project with matching federal 4-to-1 E-rate dollars that delivers a dependable, efficient public internet highway to Alaskans. And it is with this thought in mind that I am suggesting it be moved to the capital budget. Without state funding, Alaska will forfeit federal E-rate matching dollars for broadband and internet access. Rural and urban communities in Alaska will lose broadband internet access through its libraries for its residents if OWL is defunded and we forfeit the federal E-rate match. The full funding amount provides a cost-saving program to state agencies that require OWL connectivity and video conferencing to deliver its range of services across the state in lieu of the use of travel dollars and time. Please note that if the full funding cannot be met, please provide the critical funding of $325,000 for the bare-bones library connectivity and OWL program so that 25 libraries do not go dark and all Alaskans have reliable means to conduct their education, job searching, job training, and their legal, government, and health filing services. OWL is not a tangential tool of the 21st century in Alaska. It is a primary, critical program that is attached to federal E-rate dollars that stay in Alaska and serve Alaskans in a cost-effective manner. Please fund OWL in the capital budget. This will ease the transition of moving the cost for OWL to other possible funding sources. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie, for joining us in Senate Finance today. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing none, moving to the Fairbanks LIO, Jill Yorty. Jill, are you there?
I am.
Welcome.
Can you hear me?
We can. Welcome to Senate Finance. If you'd state your name and any affiliation, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Certainly. My name is Jill Yorty, and I'm speaking before you today as an Alaskan and a member of the Brooks Range Council, which is an ad hoc community group that has been following the proposed Road to Amber project for a number of years. I'm here today to make a suggestion for where to find an additional $7 to $8 million that could be reappropriated to other projects that are more timely here in the state of Alaska in this year's capital budget. The proposed Road to Amber has been in the works for over 5 years now. It was first proposed this round, and back in 2010, it's since bounced between Alaska DOT and ADA. Just recently, ADA received rejection letters from all federal agencies that it submitted a right-of-way application to, and all of these letters said that the application was incomplete at this time, and they need a significant amount of additional studies done, more information on the project before it could even move into the permitting process. ADA still has $7 to $8 million that have been appropriated for this project that could be reappropriated to other projects here in the state. I think this would be a wise use of the money to reappropriate it. This road is not wanted by many of the communities that would be impacted in the region. It does not bring substantial benefit to Alaskans, and there are no federal dollars involved in the project that would be brought into the state. Thank you so much for your time.
Jill, I didn't catch the road. I'm not sure. What road did you say that you were trying to reappropriate from?
It's the proposed road to the Ambler Mining District. It's a project that ADA has been moving forward for several years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Other questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, going to the Anchorage LAO, Steve Rebuffo. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to Senate Finance. If you could state your name and any affiliation, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Steve Rebuffo. I am the Director of the Port of Anchorage, and I'm here today to ask Senate Finance and your brothers in House Finance to do your best to come up with some creative mechanism for trying to fund the ask of the only capital ask that Anchorage has this year, which is $290 million to complete the largest part of the Anchorage Port Modernization Project. I don't think I need to belabor the issue with all of you and how important the Port of Anchorage is to not only Anchorage itself, but to all those communities in South Central Alaska, all the way up the rail belt to Fairbanks and beyond, who benefit from the cargo that crosses our docks. We've been battling for years a problem of corrosion on the piling that support the facility, and we have reached a point where at best we can maintain those piles to support operational loads on the dock, but they give us no protection in the event of a large earthquake anywhere near what Anchorage experienced in 1964. And I dare say, without a complete replacement of the facility, over the course of the next 15 years, it may very well deteriorate to a point where it's going to be unusable at all. Anything that Senate Finance can do to assist us, we'd be very grateful to get. We are undergoing now the phase one portion of the project for which we do have funding, and that's going to replace one petroleum terminal and a cement facility, as well as do some work on the backlands to improve the flow of the current past the existing dock and improve the siltation issue. That's work that we can go undertake for the next couple of years, but beyond that point, we need to move forward on the biggest part of the facility, which is the main cargo docks, so that we can assure that we can continue to bring in the cargo and the volumes that we can efficiently do now into the future. And I thank you for the time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there questions from committee members? Steve, thank you for joining us in Senate Finance today. We appreciate your testimony.
You're welcome, and best of luck to you all.
Thank you. Is there anyone else off-net or online? With that, we'll go at ease until 2:55. I'll come back in and adjourn if there's no one else online. So I'll let committee members go. If those of you can stay close, we're at ease. We're back on the record. Welcome to Senate Finance. The Senate Bill number 138, Alaska's capital budget, is before us. The next person online, off net, is Paul Kendall. Mr. Kendall, are you there?
Yes, I am, Chairman McKim.
Welcome to Senate Finance. If you would identify yourself for the record, any affiliation, and then please proceed with your 3 minutes of testimony.
Sure. My name is Paul. My initial B. Kendall. I have no conflicts of interest, either directly or indirectly. I'm not John T. I think we have a sequence of the voice through the house. I won't go there. I really don't want to discuss the capital budget per se. What I want to do is discuss something I think it needs to be done, and I feel guilty by not contributing this comment. I want to see a $2 billion budget. I don't see how you can reach out to construct and to reevaluate where we're going, where we're at, until we see a floor. And in my world, that's a $2 billion budget and model. And it's imperative to make the reason why we see that. And I think it can go more than that, quite frankly, given what's happening around the world and economies today. The other thing I think we need to see is we need to see the total number of public employees statewide, that includes the boroughs and the municipalities. And I think this year's more mature agency or sector, you need to make these people furnish this data. You need to hold them terribly accountable for any obfuscations or omissions. At the same time, once we get that gathered up, we need to see the total monthly net payroll of those people. Then the next thing we need to see is the total number of retired people throughout the state of Alaska based upon any retirement plans being financed. Then we need to see, again, the total net monthly pay. I don't see how you can begin to have any discussion until you herd this up. And then on top of that, it is my position, I think I've made this public, that I don't see how you can go anywhere and say you decouple all public employee unions. This is just unacceptable. I think we need to start looking at all of the entire remuneration retirement plans. Many of these people are having these golden handcuffs and great jobs, and some of them are their workload or their job description, but there are good times and bad times, and you have to know when to let go. The good times are no longer there, and you have to prep and accommodate those moments. And then finally, I'm very concerned about Juno. I don't see how in the world you can handle the problems that we now see coming at us in an untimely fashion and an accelerated modality. I don't see how in the world you're able to hold a great state nation or a people of Alaska together, hanging out of here, not hanging out. I'm trying to use the appropriate language here. I don't see how you do that. I don't see how you gather your people up and respond quickly to shifting times being located in Juneau. Juneau just needs to, nothing else, put them on some type of extended vacation to get up here. And by the way, referencing the LIO, I understand the state has 37 properties in the Anchorage area, and some of those are large acreage tracts, and some of those are buildings. And I would have hoped that you would have not put 32 million into a downtown core city area. It's very difficult to access, and there's additional fees into it. So I'll stop here. And the reason is that when you talk to people, they tell you, you should do something and speak up. But when you go to speak up, there's only 3 minutes, and that's, I'm trying to be positive here. But some of these problems, they require engaging and then interrogating and probing and back and forth discussions. And I just don't see how we're able to come together as a body of people that you represent us with in such a limited means as Juno. And having said that, I'll get off of here and thank you for what you've done. I really would like to see us gather together. And I think we missed an opportunity to lead the rest of the United States. In some ways, we're just like them, only smaller. They get to print money at will, and we folks get $60 billion. I really think we're heading for some economic times we've not seen before, and I think we all need to be gathered up with your leadership role to help here where we can fully engage with. We have 10,000 engineers in the state, and here I go trying to make the base for my comments, and that's the problem. You just can't do that in 2 or 3 minutes, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Kendall. Are there questions? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone else here in Juneau wishing to testify on SB 138? Is there anyone at any of Alaska's LIOs or off-net? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Comments from committee members? Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the last, there's been some good testimony. It was, I thought, some enlightening testimony on the OWL online with libraries issue from the individual in Kodiak. Mr. Kendall, I think, brings to light something that I've been saying, and that this is going to take a little bit more time to thoroughly work through the 90 days. And what I'm referring to is work in the summer, work in the fall, and next year as well. I know there's a lot of folks that are saying we need to fix this problem right now. It's just, it's not necessarily that simple to do that. Makes a good point, but I think you have a very complex problem, and I think it needs its due diligence. It needs to be really looked at, and I think it's going to take some work, continued work.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. We have had those numbers before us. The ARM Board has all of our retirees in costs. We do know the amount of state employees. It's 26,000. Actually, it's 24,000, I believe, now down from 26,000. And we have reviewed the obligations that the administration negotiates through contracts that are advancing to us. The state Supreme Court, I believe, has set in motion our inability to act without a constitutional amendment on the benefits that are being paid out in our retirement system. And the state has actively pursued a recourse in trying to reduce our pension obligation in a variety of ways. So they are available. They're hard to find for the general public, but the Finance Committee has had many, if not all, of the issues that were raised at the table just a few moments ago up for conversation in this legislative session. So I do know that there are folks that want to study the issue more, and we absolutely need to study the issues more. But we do have those numbers available to all committee members, and we have had presentations. Anything else to come before the committee? If anyone is off-net online or still following us, you're certainly welcome to send in emails and let us know any other requests that you might have for Alaska's capital budget. With that, this evening at 5 p.m., Senate Finance will hear SB 172, Fish, Shellfish Hatchery, and Enhanced Projects. That is the only agenda item. That bill will be heard and held, so it should be a fairly short meeting. With that, we're adjourned.